Such an appropriate song for our topic this morning, There Is No Fear When He Is Near. I would direct your attention to turn to Psalm 23. The verse that we will read this morning coincides perfectly with the message contained in the song that you and I just heard. I don't know how often we consider the words of Scripture, and by that I mean the promises and warnings of Scripture, for what they are, and that is as a direct command from God. I'm not just talking about the thou shalts and the thou shalt nots, but even the comforting promises contain specific commands within them. And I believe we desperately need those comforting promises. One author that I was reading last week said, if there is one attribute that a healthy flock needs, it is comfort. And we can rest assured that our Savior intends for us to be comforted. The psalm that we will visit this morning, now have been in for 4 weeks, encourages us along these lines, and we'll read this morning just the fourth verse. The Bible says there, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. How am I aware of it? Your rod and your staff are ever present there, and they comfort me. Comfort is one of those great Bible words. Comfort is a word that we all understand, and I imagine it conjures up perhaps a particular feeling. It even is an emotion, perhaps. In the New Testament, as Jesus is speaking, He says to His disciples in John chapter 14, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said to you. That's what this verse that we read just a moment ago offers us. It offers us both comfort and a command. Jesus said, as He ascended back up into heaven, and the disciples began to have it sink in that He would not be there with them forever, you could see the strain, you could sense the concern, the trepidation, fear beginning to creep in. And Jesus says to them, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you alone. As I ascend, the Holy Ghost will descend, and He will be your comforter, and He will teach you, and He will guide you all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Have you ever paused to meditate on this fact? God in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, is concerned with our comfort. On the inside, emotional, where pain resides, where fear exists, where doubt and where guilt prevail, He comforts us. I want you to make specific notice in that verse. David does not say, if I walk through. No, he says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. It is impossible to escape, but that you and I will pass through that dark valley, that deep ravine where shadows prevail and cold sets in, but it cannot hurt us because of the presence of the comforting Savior. A preacher many years ago from the Philadelphia area, while pastoring, experienced the sudden death of his wife. They had 2 small children at the time. On their way to the graveside after the funeral, when their car pulled up and stopped at a stoplight. In the lane next to them, a big tractor trailer truck pulled up, blocking the light of the sun. When the light turned green and they pulled back out, the truck lagged behind, and as the shadow of the truck lagged behind, sun once again shined into the car. Pastor realized in a moment that he had an opportunity to comfort his children, and so he turned and said, "Children, back there at that stoplight, did you notice how that truck pulled up next to us and created a shadow?" "Yes." "Children, did that shadow hurt us?" he asked. "No." "Did it hold us back?" "No, Daddy. A shadow can't do that." And he said, "Kids, the Bible says, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we do not fear." He went on and he said, "Kids, we walk through that valley, and just like a shadow, that shadow did not hurt your mother. And just like a shadow, that shadow did not hold back your mother. It was a momentary occurrence, and she wasn't there alone. The Lord Jesus Christ was with her. Yea, even though I'm going to pass through dark valleys, yea, even though I am going to encounter deep ravines in my life, I, if I have Him as my shepherd, need fear no evil in those darkened moments, because He has promised that He will be right there with me as a believer. I sense His presence as my comforter." According to John 14, I know that He's there. I want you to notice something else in the verbiage. Note the change as David writes. He introduces us to the shepherd in verse 1, and then he says, "He maketh me. He leadeth me. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." But he says something different in verse 4. Instead of "he" at a distance, he now says, "Thou." He is not looking at him and saying, "He will do, He will do." He looks and you can sense the intimacy that is present when he says, "But now I know in this deep ravine, in this dark moment, You are with me." I love to understand that. Isn't it true that you're never more conscious, never more grateful for the personal presence of God in your life than when you find yourself down in the deep valleys? Isn't that when you desperately need Him the most? As you study this, I want you to know that the Bible is a very real book. As David was writing this, I already have conveyed and believe he is looking back on his time tending his father's sheep. I know that he is drawing on his own experience as a shepherd. He's meditating on himself as a sheep, answering the concerns in his own heart as he says, "And I know who my shepherd is." He is conveying to us very visually, explicitly, as a sheep and shepherd are related to one another, so are we as believers to our shepherd, the good shepherd. Intriguing to me as I've studied this is to become aware of the surrounding area and the context that David was writing in. And near where David would have been tending his sheep is an area known as the Wadi Kelt. Wadi means deep ravine. In fact, you'll see right here on the screen behind me a picture of the Wadi Kelt. It is believed that perhaps as David is penning this very verse and he writes those words, "Yea, though I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." This is the valley that David would have traversed. It is in this valley that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, as we'll establish in a moment, would have come from Jericho up to Jerusalem. It's very, very biblically founded what goes on here in the Wadi Kelt. Maybe as David was writing, perhaps as David got to this fourth verse, he's looking at this very scene that we see before us and reminding himself that he is comforted. This route that you see before you this morning is the very route that Jesus would have taken in biblical times as he left Galilee. In fact, this valley that you see before you is the setting of the parable that Jesus shared when he told the story of the Good Samaritan. You see, this highway that you see before you was known as the Way of Blood in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. because of the treachery of bandits that hid out in there, because of the wild animals that existed. And as Jesus shares the parable of the Good Samaritan, we can picture Him laying alongside in some rocky ditch, having been robbed along this way of blood. You didn't want to pass through alone, and certainly didn't want to go through at night due to the wild animals that preyed on humans and domestic animals as they passed through. Literally, this was known as the way of blood. I think it's fitting that our Lord's final journey was through the Wadi Kelt, the way of blood. In Matthew, we see this trip traced out for us. In fact, in Matthew 18, the Lord Jesus finishes His ministry in the northern regions of Galilee and leaves for Jerusalem. And the Bible says He set His face like a flint for the journey ahead of Him. As Matthew 19 begins, so does the journey. And the Bible says in Matthew 19:1, "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, He departed from Galilee and came into the coasts of Judea beyond Jordan." In Matthew 20, we pick the story up, and Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn Him to death, and He shall deliver Him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify, and the third day He shall rise again." If you skip to verse 29 of Matthew 20, you'll read this, "And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed Him." On into chapter 21, "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethpage unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus 2 disciples." From here, He enters Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. The only route available in the Lord's time for traveling from Jericho up to Jerusalem was the way of blood. The only route available to travel from Jericho up to Jerusalem was to traverse the Wadi Kelt. The only route for Jesus and the disciples and the multitude that followed Him was to literally pass through the valley of the shadow of death. The only way for the Lord Jesus to come from where He was to where He was going was to come through this very scene, where David was perhaps meditating. And I would encourage you, because our shepherd passed through this very valley, because our shepherd walked through the valley of the shadow of death, because our shepherd went through the way of blood, it allows us to take a step back and say, "Yea, even though I have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because I have this spiritual awareness. You are with me and You've already passed through this way and You know where You're going and You know the other end and You're along holding my hand the entire time. I know that He went through this way of blood and therefore I know that He comforts me when I am there." First thing I want you to note with me is the word "yea." I have intentionally not desired to waste any singular word of this 23rd Psalm. As you read that word, you'll note it as a transition from verse 3 to verse 4. And He says in verse 3, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake, yea." In essence, the psalmist is saying, "He leadeth me." He is taking the lead. He is my GPS system for life. "He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake." Yes, even when those paths go through the valley of the shadow of death. Yea, that word is just saying yes, sometimes. Though this passage is metaphorical, though it is an analogy, you say, "So I'm to be afraid in a valley?" We understand this is the hazards, the hard times, the dark moments in life. And I don't mean to burst your bubble, but perhaps a bit of a reality check is, He can be leading you, and yes, you can still go through dark valleys. He can be leading you in paths of righteousness, and for His name's sake, yes, there can be some hard seasons in life. Yes, you and I can and will encounter pain. Yes, grief and seasons of mourning are very real. He can be leading me through paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And yes, I can still encounter a valley. The next is simple. Yea, though I walk through, valleys no doubt can be long and dark and severe. Shadows can be deep and temperatures cold because the sunlight is blocked. But there's a word there that encourages me, and it is the word through. Through. He doesn't speak of it as a cave with no exit. He doesn't talk about a dead end. He depicts for us a valley that we pass through. I want to perhaps challenge the typical understanding of this verse, because David doesn't say he's going in there to die either. David doesn't say, yea, though I'm going to die in the valley of the shadow of death. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. David can certainly be including the fearful context of dying. Of that I have no doubt, but he's referring to walking through this place of deadly shadows, a repeated event in the life of sheep. You realize that David would have had to go on a circuitous route to meet the needs of the flock that he was tending. It was impossible as they traveled those old sheep paths for them not to, on multiple occasions and perhaps a couple of times per season, lead their flock of sheep through the valley of blood. A repeated occurrence. David did not say, yea, though I'm going to die in the valley of shadow of death. Yo, I'm passing through again and again and again. Remember, even valleys are the will of the shepherd. Job entered a dark valley, didn't he? Job was a righteous man. He entered a very dark valley and he said this in Job 12:22. He discovereth deep things out of darkness and bringeth out to light the shadow of death. It's the same phrase that David used. It's the same Hebrew phrase that David used. Job says, he bringeth to light even the shadow of death. Isaiah is writing in his prophecies of the coming Messiah, and he uses the same word as well. In Isaiah 9:2, he says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. I'm not the swiftest student, but I love what I read as one commentator said this, there can be no shadow unless there is a light source. And when the shadows fall on our lives, we must always remember the shadow is only there because the source of light has created and allowed it to be such. Perhaps more eloquently, it is understood as that transition creeps in. We know that the shepherd is the light lighting the way. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Isn't that a phrase? The valley of the shadow of death. There's no such thing as real death for the believer. Do you know that? Only the shadow of death. Jesus took that route, as I already established for us. In John 14:19, he says this, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. In John 12, Jesus was speaking and he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? The reality of Psalm 23:4 relieves the fear of death. In 1825, and I'll warn you, this is a bit macabre. It's not reading you really want to do. There was a book written called Deathbed Scenes. Isn't that fun? Deathbed Scenes. Yeah, just a place I want to hang out and read about. People dying, what was going on? Many, many years ago, I saw in a bookstore the release of pictures of old crime scenes, murders and homicides, and I thought, wow, you have to be a little bit twisted to purchase that and put it on the coffee table. I mean, that's weird. But in the early 1800s, people were quite caught up with reading about deathbed scenes. Buried down in this old book is a little story that I want to share with you. It's of Mrs. Barry. She was described as an elegant and energetic woman, tireless in her efforts on behalf of the poor. When her health failed, she turned to Psalm 23 and found it. A heavenly message to me, she told her husband. If there must be a funeral sermon, let it be Psalm 23:4, she said. As her health continued to decline and she was confined to her bed, the book said, she spoke smatterings of conversations with her loved ones, saying, almost at home, my precious Bible. I never thought it could have supported me thus, but it does. I never thought I could have enjoyed it so much. I have not an anxious wish. Jesus is very precious. I have no anxiety. Shortly afterwards, she whispered this, it is sweet to die in Jesus. Oh, bless God. My dear husband, I am so happy, though I walk through the valley. What is the source of that happiness, I ask you? How strange is it for a group of individuals to encounter dark seasons in their lives and still have the capacity to say, I feel no anxiety, I know no fear. Is it because they are impervious to human emotion? Have they been robotic in their lifestyle? No, it is an awareness of the presence of their comforter. When I was little and I grew up in Northern Virginia, we had a basement. For all of you from Charlotte, a basement is something that is underneath the first floor of your house. We have those in the North. Our basement, when we first built the house, was unfinished. There was a set of stairs out of the kitchen. They were wood stairs with 2x4 railings. You went down into an open space. Then there was all the stuff for the air conditioner and the heater and the hot water and everything. And there was a back door, glass back door with big glass next to it. One of my responsibilities as a child was to make sure the basement was locked before bed. I hated to make sure the basement was locked before bed because it was dark outside. Now, you say, well, shouldn't you just turn the light on, go down the steps, go over to the door, make sure that it's locked, and come back up? Yes, in theory. But have you ever turned a light on when it's dark outside? And as you walk up to the glass, you become painfully aware of something. Whoever's out there can see me, but I can't see them. And so I learned I would have to turn the stair light on, which gave just enough light to go down. And I would have to get over to the door, but it wasn't so light that I couldn't see the outline of the ghostly trees blowing in the backyard. And I was just certain that as soon as I reached to check the door was locked, someone would go, boom, on the window, and I would, oh my. And so I don't need to tell you that in my little Batman pajamas, which I still proudly wear, I would open the kitchen door. I would go down the steps, and if you were in the family room, you would hear. And I'd get out. I hated it. But there were occasions where my mother would be downstairs because that's where the washer and dryer were. And she would be folding laundry and working. And do you know how bravely I would stride over? Door's locked, Mom. And back out. Why? I was aware that someone was with me. Why the trepidation? Why the anxiety? Why the fear? You don't understand. It's dark and it's cold where I'm at. You don't understand. I'm so far in that if I look back over, I can't see the light. And as I look ahead, I don't know how long I'll be in here. Please let me encourage you. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are not in that valley alone. He is not just nearby. He's holding your hand as you walk through it. And it is a season that God will see you through. I have no fear. One author noted this. One of the most interesting subjects to trace in the New Testament is the lack of fear among God's children who were dying. If you go to Acts 7, I won't take the time to turn you there now. You'll read this. Stephen was being stoned. A miserable and wretched ordeal, obviously to endure, certainly to witness. Here is a believer in a grievous dark valley. People had moments before literally been so angered at him that they gnawed on him with their teeth. They're beating him and dragging him out, and they are picking up large stones and lobbing them on his bones and his flesh, seeking to kill him. And we'll listen to him speak in two verses. And they stoned Stephen. And while they were doing it, he was calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Jesus on the cross, in the throes of death, said over and again, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he gave up the ghost. It is an interesting study. I would say to you, it is not that believers are impervious to emotion. I'm not trying to convey to you that there will never be an instant of fear, but I am saying to you the prevailing presence of your comforting shepherd means that within every dark valley there is a way of escape. It is relational. It is understanding that he is there with you. In Psalm 46, 1 and 2, you may make note. We expand this thought like a telescope. God is a help. He is a present help. He is a very present help. He is a very present help in trouble. He is a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear. I know that He is there. You say, Pastor, it's so distant. I can't see Him. I need to know. I would say to you, that is where faith intervenes. And promises like Psalm 23:4 are both comfort and a command. Yes, even though He has seen fit, according to His will, to lead me into this dark valley, I will not fear because I know He is with me. How do I know He is with me? The psalmist doesn't leave us. His rod and His staff, they comfort us. Shepherds had tools. They had a staff. It was a long piece of slender wood with about a rounded bulb on the top. Shepherds in Africa, they say young boys will spend hours learning how to throw that staff and hit with force, enough force to kill that which would prey on their flock. The staff, the long hook that you would see them carry, you know they would go out and they would be able to pull branches down for the goats, and they'd be able to reach out and pull sheep and babies back together again. In fact, as I read, I was intrigued to note that oftentimes shepherds will walk and they'll take their rod and just set it on the back of a sheep next to them and walk. They'll just walk. They said this, it is as though the shepherd is holding hands with his sheep because he lays that staff down on them and they know he's right there. That staff can indicate to us the discipline of the Lord, the authority of the Lord. At night, as the sheep would come into perhaps a rock corral, the shepherd himself would literally be the door to that corral. He would sleep there so that if any predator attempted to come in, he would be aware of it. And if any sheep tried to escape, he would know it. And as he would lead those sheep into the corral, he would stand there with his staff. And as they entered, he would touch each one and count it to make sure. How do I know he's with me? His staff of discipline sometimes touches us and reminds us he is there. If your earthly father does chasten you, don't you realize that when we step to the left or to the right, our heavenly Father loves us more than our earthly father, and he will do the same? He will keep us from the right hand or from the left. He will reach out and pull us back on. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I want to say to you very plainly, you may be in a dark valley, and I cannot change that. But I want you to think of him holding your hand as you go. He doesn't say this. You see that dark valley down there? Well, you start over here, and I'll meet you at the other end. He doesn't say, you start over there, and I'll find you halfway through. You're on your own. He says this. Come here. Let's hold hands. Let's go through this together. There's nothing like that. This world does not offer you that. I want you to get this, and I'm done. You can make copious amounts of money, security. But when dark valleys come, your money is not going to hold your hand through it. You can achieve success and position. You can gain authority in this world. But I want you to know something. When the dark valleys come across your path, and they will, position, success, authority will not hold your hand through that valley. But the good shepherd will. You say, Pastor, how do I know that he is my shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd. Indicating that there has come a moment in my life where I have come to my own wit's end, to an end of myself, where I have ceased to trust in the way that I've done it, ceased to trust in everything that I have amassed, and I have begun to say, there has to be more to this life than this. There has to be something beyond this world, and there is. And if I will submit myself and confess my sins, He is faithful, He is just to cleanse me, to forgive me, to save me, to become my shepherd. It does not mean dark valleys are eradicated from my path. It just means someone is there to hold my hand, and I will go through it to the other side. Would you please bow your heads and close your eyes? He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yes, even if it means passing through the dark valley. I said as we began this study, there is more that is revealed about our Heavenly Father in this 23rd Psalm than perhaps anywhere else in Scripture. The Wadi Kelt. Picture David sitting there on a rock, looking down at the way of blood, meditating on himself as a sheep and his Lord as his shepherd, and saying, I know that it is sometimes necessitated that I pass through this, but I don't go it alone. His rod of discipline and authority, his staff of nearness and healing and comfort, let me know that he is ever present with me. Jesus said it, I will not leave you comfortless. Have you ever stopped to meditate on how important your comfort is to God? He knows our frame. He knows that we are dust. He knows that we are frail. And he sees fit to be our good shepherd. What a great God we serve. You're here this morning. Listen, I am not calling you a bad person. Every one of us have the exact same start to life. We start as sinners. There are people in this room who are more educated than you, less educated than you. Make more, make less. Have a better family. Don't come from a broken home, do come from a broken home. Have opportunity, lack opportunity. It's all kinds. The message is universal. We all start as sinners. But God loves us. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He passed through that valley of blood right up to Jerusalem where He was arrested, where He died for you and for me. There is none righteous. No, not even one. All have come short of the glory of God. It is an all humanity inclusive club. The wages of our sin is death. There is no doubt we will pay for our sin, for the rejection of Jesus Christ, if we do not submit ourselves, humble ourselves, and receive Him as our Savior. So what do? I must trust in Jesus Christ. I have to agree with God about my sin. I have to come to a moment just like this and say, Dear God in heaven, I know that I am a sinner. I agree with You about my sin. I confess my sin to You. I repent of my sin. I place my trust in Jesus Christ, not in anything that I have done, not in anything that I have amassed. I ask for mercy and I call out for Jesus to save me. And I will tell you, if you, according to Romans, will confess with your mouth what you know to be true about you, what you believe in your heart to be true about God, in faith, you've confessed your sins and asked Jesus to save you. He will. He has. I'm not going to embarrass you one bit. It's me and it's you. Every head is bowed. Every eye is closed. It is me and you. And I'm telling you, I won't embarrass you. If you said a moment ago in your heart, He's not my shepherd, that's why I'm always alone, then I just had a moment to talk to you. And you say, Pastor, I'll be honest, I prayed that prayer and I asked Jesus Christ to save me. I know I'm not all that I should be, but I just beg for His mercy, confess my sins and ask Him to save me. I put my trust in Him. If you did that, I promise I will not embarrass you. But would you do me one simple favor? Just slip your hand up enough where I can see it and take it right back down. God bless you. I see that. God bless you. I see that hand. And yours. 3. Who have a shepherd now to go through some dark valleys with? Why so fearful? Christian? Why paralyzed by fear? Why so anxious? Why so trepidatious? Why so faithless? Why so tired, beleaguered, despondent? Even though these paths lead us to dark valleys, He is with us, our good shepherd. He does not mean us harm. Even when He takes us through the valley that signifies the end, that of death, it is a through way. It is not a dead end. It is leaving this life and entering the next. It is ceasing to be temporal and being glorified for eternity in the presence of our good shepherd. If God's encouraged you, if God's challenged you, and you know in this moment of invitation, you need to speak to Him. You're a believer. You say, I know He's my shepherd, but I needed this reminder this morning. God, help me. I'm going to use this invitation to speak to Him. Would you slip your hand up and say, yes, Pastor, I know that's me. God bless you. Lots of hands up. Heavenly Father, take Your word as it has been conveyed. Teach us from it in Jesus' name. Would you please stand to your feet? Your heads bowed, your eyes closed. Just going to play a verse or two of invitation now.